Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Neverland Podcast, episode 50, with our very special guests, Jeff and Colleen Roney. Yay!
Welcome to Neverland.
Take a start of the right and stay on till morning. Neverland.
Good morning, Neverland!
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
And now, please welcome your host for the podcast. He's the pen.
I got pen sword. I'm the pen now!
Actually, I got his microphone.
He's grown up. You promised never to grow old.
Here age relives fond memories of the past. Yeah.
And now, your host, Jeremy.
Grab your pixie from out of your pocket where you've been keeping her all week with that good attitude and sprinkle some of that pixie dust all around. Let's fly away to Neverland. We've got a great show for you this week. Lost Boy Jesse, one of my co-hosts here and the most frequent co-host, he has a very special interview with Jeff and Colleen Roney from the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. So if you are a fan of Once Upon a Time, you are going to love this. I have done minimal editing on this because I really didn't have time. I was actually working on fixing my brakes yesterday. So I just did a little trim on the front and on the end to kind of get it straight to the interview. And I'm going to let it fly however it is. And we'll just see how Jesse does on his first time out in his first interview. This should be great because I know he's a fan of that show, and I know they're obviously big fans. And so if you're a fan of that show, you're going to love this show, and you're probably going to want to check out their show as well. And I'm sure they'll give you all the information you could possibly want about their show. I mean, that's our major portion of content today, but you know what we're going to return to this week? We actually are going to have a news segment. Can you believe it? We're actually going to talk about some Marvel and some beyond Disney news as well, some Star Wars stuff. We've got a lot of great things to pack into this show this week, but before we really get going, I want to let you in on something that I'd kind of like to do. This is November, and the month of November features the holiday of Thanksgiving, and I would really like it if you would call 816-226-6492. This phone number can also be found on our website, neverlandpodcast.com. Also, if you wanted to tweet it to me or send it by message over Facebook or email it, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com, what I would like is I would like to hear what it is you're thankful for, and if you can do it with a Disney twist, that will be awesome. Because I think, you know, it would be a fun segment to stick in there for Thanksgiving, to hear what everybody is thankful for, and I'm most looking forward to getting some voicemails because I'd actually like to hear your voices, and I get to share them with everybody else. So once again, 816- 226-6492 to call and leave us what you're thankful for. And I'll play that here on the air when it comes to the weekend of Thanksgiving, and it'll be great. And it'll be a great way to also kick off Christmas season, because I've got some plans for next month. We're going to take the good old Neverland TARDIS back in time around Christmas, and you're going to really love some of the things I plan to share with you around Christmas time. But that's still coming. On today's show, though, we've got a lot of fun packed in, so let's just get right to it with, by the way, we have a fun audio clip that Rob Dellinger made us, if you didn't remember it from last week, robdellinger.com. He does all these great audio things. He's a great musician, composer, plays with a band called Stompy Jones, and he made this really cool bumper. So just in case you missed out on it last week, I'm going to be playing this bumper whenever we jump around from segments. I will use some of my explosion sound effects and stuff as well, but I really love this new bumper. So as we get into the news, I've got to share this with you again. Here we go, the official Neverland bumper.
To Disney and beyond.
Okay, this I got from superherohype.com. Daniel Bruhl, that's how I'm figuring his name is pronounced, it's B-R-U-H-L, has joined the cast of Captain America Civil War in a mystery role. Now, Bruhl's credits include Quentin Tarantino's Inglorious, well, it's a family show, I won't give you the rest of the title, Bill Condon's The Fifth Estate, and has been opposite Chris Hemsworth, who, of course, plays Captain America, and Ron Howard's Rush. Now, I haven't seen any of these movies, so I'm not very familiar with him. But he's going to return with Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., and also, it's been recently revealed, Chadwick Boseman. Remember, I told you he was playing Black Panther? Of course, the Black Panther movie's coming later, but he's going to be in Civil War and is going to be directed by the Winter Soldier sibling team of Joe and Anthony Russo, and we're looking for this to hit theaters on May 6th, 2016. So, we don't know who he is, but he's coming. I don't know if he plays good villains, good heroes. Maybe somebody let me know what you think about this actor. Go ahead and send a tweet or something, because I am not familiar with him other than what I found on superherohype.com. But I do have a quote from Kevin Feige, and he says, "With Daniel's ability to deliver intense, nuanced performances, we knew we had found yet another great actor to share the screen with some of our biggest heroes." Oh, and hey, Neverlanders, do you remember when I announced that Marvel was releasing several comic book series based on Star Wars properties? Well, it seems Darth Vader number 1, the Lord of the Sith, pays a visit to Jabba the Hutt. Now, Darth Vader number 1 is going to be released on February of 2015, and here's the solicit that they've put out there. It says, "Ever since Darth Vader made his first on-screen appearance, he became one of the most popular villains to ever haunt an audience's dreams, or nightmares, I would say. Now, follow Vader straight from the ending of Star Wars A New Hope and the pages of the new Star Wars comic book into his own series showing the Empire's war with the Rebel Alliance from the other side." So this apparently takes place after New Hope, and so you've got this, you know, new series jumping in there. There's a Darth Vader solo series, a new Star Wars series that's, you know, going around original trilogy time. This is all coming out from Marvel, so this is a good time to hit your local comic shops coming up next year when this starts. Here's some other interesting Marvel movie news. James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy, says that the upcoming sequel will not be setting up Infinity War. Now, you might remember Infinity War is the third and fourth Avengers movie that's coming up. And, of course, we're expecting Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet and a lot of other things, which has, of course, been mentioned in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Of course, all the cinematic universe has been pointing towards the Infinity War in its own little ways, but they've all had independent stories. So, although the Guardians has the ability to be outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe because it takes place out in space and yet still be a part of it and still, of course, maintain a very independent story like all the other Marvel films have managed to do. They've had independent stories and they've had things that are actually part of the Infinity Wars that you might understand later if you don't understand already. But he doesn't have to use that movie to point specifically to Infinity War. But, of course, I'm sure there will be some elements that will be used in Infinity War popping up. Okay, we're going to jump now beyond Disney, and Bond 24 has cast a villain, Christoph Waltz. Now, I've also learned that Dave Bautista, who's a former WWE superstar and very famous for playing Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy, they have both been cast, actually. Now, Christoph Waltz, we know he's the villain for Bond 24, but we don't know any more than that, and I'm not familiar with that actor.
Dave Bautista, of course, we are all familiar with. And if we're not, maybe you haven't watched Guardians of the Galaxy yet. And, well, that's coming soon on Blu-ray, so here comes your chance. But now, do you remember back when they told us that we were going to get another iconic henchman, like in some of the old Bond films, like, you know, Oddjob or Jaws or, you know, those guys? Well, I'm thinking maybe Bautista is going to be one of that henchman. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because, you know, he is that big, strong guy. And I think he showed he's got some pretty good acting ability in Guardians of the Galaxy. Of course, you have to be able to act a bit if you're going to be a WWE superstar. So, looking forward to that. I don't know any more about that story, but I'm a Bond fan, so I'm very excited about that, and I hope you are too. Warning, potential spoilers will follow, so you may want to skip ahead about 3 minutes, starting right now. Also, going beyond Disney, have you been watching The Flash or Arrow on CW? Now, I didn't get caught in on Arrow. I'm not a fan of Green Arrow, really, generally, and I tried to watch the first couple episodes, and it didn't hook me, but I think I'm going to have to jump back into it, which I think I've been saying since the beginning of this show. Well, they're about to have a crossover episode this December. It's going to be a Flash versus Arrow. So The Flash will serve as the first part, and it goes by the appropriate title, of course, Flash versus Arrow. And here's the official description. Barry is thrilled when Oliver, Felicity, and Diggle come to Central City to investigate a case involving a deadly boomerang. Excited about teaming up with his friend, Barry asks Oliver if he'd like to help him stop Ray Bivolo, guest star Patrick Sabongui, I'm not sure how to say his name, I'm sorry if I butchered it, the metahuman Barry is currently tracking. Bivolo causes people to lose control of their emotion and has been using that skill to rob banks. Unfortunately, the superhero partnership doesn't go as smoothly as Barry expected. When Oliver tells Barry he still has a lot to learn, Barry sets out to prove him wrong by attempting to stop Bivolo alone. However, when Bivolo infects Barry and sets him on a rage rampage, everyone is in danger, and the only one who can stop him is the Arrow. I wish I'd at least call him Green Arrow. Anyway, meanwhile, Iris is furious when Eddie tries to get a task force to stop the Flash. Joe and Dr. Wells agree the Arrow is a bad influence on Barry, and Caitlin and Cisco deal with a new team in Star Labs. The episode is directed by Glenn Winter, with a story by Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg. I'm sorry, I got that name wrong, probably too. And a teleplay by Ben Sokolowski and Brooke Eichmeyer. And it's set to air on December 2nd. I'm very excited about this. Now, following that episode, Arrow will bring us the conclusion of the crossover with an episode titled The Brave and the Bold. Anyone remember Batman Brave and the Bold? There was a comic series. There was a cartoon. It was a lot of fun. But anyways, it's officially described as... Okay, here's your solicit again. Oliver, Arsenal, and Diggle track down the location of a boomerang-wielding killer named Digger Harkness, guest star Nick Terabay. But are surprised when they come face-to-face with an Argus team. Diggle asks Lila why Argus is involved, but she defers until Harkness attacks the building, killing several agents and targeting Lila. The Arrow joins the fight and gets help from an old friend, the Flash. Harkness manages to get away, and Oliver teams up with Barry again to find him before he can get to Lila. When Harkness plants 5 bombs in the city that are timed to explode at the same time, both teams must come together to save the city. Now, that's the official solicit apparently they've put out. That almost sounds like it's got spoilers to me. You know, they're kind of telling a little too much. I better go back and put a spoiler warning back there. So, but anyways, Jesse Warren directed the episode with story by Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg, and teleplay by Mark Guggenheim and Granny... That can't be right. Granny or Grainy Godfrey. I'm sorry, I messed up your name. But Grain Godfrey Schwartz. And it's set to air on December 3rd.
To Disney and beyond.
Okay, now it's time for a few shout-outs to a few things that happened in social media this week. I want to welcome a new Twitter followers, Greg Weissman. You might know that name. I'd be looking for him on a future episode of the Neverland Podcast. Go and look him up. Especially follow him on Twitter. You'd be very excited to know what he's been involved with. And also, Ray Kraft, who is... from all I know, just Ray Kraft. Thank you for following us on Twitter and interacting with me. We've also got a very nice comment from Rob Dellinger, who, by the way, did I mention he made that bumper you just heard? And I did remind you to go to check out his website. You can find that link at neverlandpodcast.com.
Time out! The Great Space Coaster will return after these messages!
Are you a fan of DuckTales, Gargoyles, or Tailspin? Then boy, have I got a podcast for you. Hi, I'm Jason, host of DAF Radio.
And I'm Matt, the co-host.
Join us as we talk about these fan favorite shows that you grew up with and meet the people that made them.
Find us at dafradio.net or in your favorite podcasting app.
Until next time, enjoy the afternoon.
The kids of the 70s and 80s are all grown up, but the good times of childhood don't have to end.
Our generation can share the fun and fandom of our youth with the next generation and bring the past into the future.
And wrap it all up to make a fantastic present.
Join Jedi Schwa and Shaz Bazaar every Monday morning to get your work week started by reminiscing about the past and exploring the future with your earbuds on Techno Retro Dads.
So find us on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, or on TechnoRetroDads.com, part of the Shot Glass Digital Network.
I'm in. Now back to the program.
All right, Neverlanders, welcome back to the show. I am honored at this point to be joined by Jeff and Colleen from the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks for having us.
It was great to meet you at the Friends of the Magic earlier. And
yes,
now we're talking
so
to you.
Yes, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was.
You guys had a fun little scavenger hunt meet. That was a great, good time for everyone.
Yes, and we gave away free cool drinks on a very hot day.
Yes.
And it was very appreciated.
Yeah.
We're glad you got to participate.
I don't remember. Did you guys go on the Columbia voyage with us?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that.
That was pretty cool.
So many people there, I forgot who all I met, unfortunately.
Yep.
Yeah, there were a number of people, so...
So let me ask you this question first of all. What in the world is Once Upon a Time? I know what it is. I enjoy this show, but I know there's some out there who don't.
Well, Colleen, do you want to give your thoughts first?
No, go ahead. I'll
okay.
let you.
I think my quick rundown of Once Upon a Time is it is fairy tales after the Disney movies end. Disney movies that are brought into real life, facing their decisions, facing each other, facing things that they could not even imagine in books, and facing getting along with their enemies, with their friends. It's that really in a nutshell, I think, is it?
Yeah, that is definitely a good high level view of it. I think for me to describe it, it's all the stories you grew up with, you know, from Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, you get Beauty and the Beast. Most of them we know as Disney films, but we also have these other storybooks, excuse me, and mythology. And what's happened is somebody said, what if they were in our world? And so we're seeing what happens when these characters from these stories that we've grown up with and these, again, Disney movies, but stories we grew up with, what happens when they get put into our world? And how do they handle things like cars and telephones? And then the relationships, like he said, it's after the Disney movie ends, you know, it's not just happily ever after, because that's not reality. So in our reality, they're forced to encounter and kind of go through situations that we do. It gives us a more relatable approach to these storybook characters.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so in this case, what it is Snow White, the whole story centers around the fact that Snow White and Prince Charming's daughter, who's now grown up and was sent to our world, has to save all these fairy tale characters and basically bring back their memories. And that's what starts the whole show. And then there's all kinds of fun adventures throughout the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and also I think it's going to be tough for someone maybe who's a Disney fan,
mm-hmm.
who's seen all the great animated features, and it's going to be a little tough because some of the characters in Once Upon a Time play multiple roles, and that can be a little tough for someone who's grown up watching Beauty and the Beast or watching Peter Pan or watching these classic animated features. And when they realize that one of the characters represents one of the characters from those films, and then they keep watching, and then that character represents someone else. And so it's what we said already, but with a twist. So I wanted to add that too.
Sure.
Yeah, because I like that though it's a Disney show, it does not follow the Disney canon at all.
Not so much. I think what they've done, and this is what we've told our listeners, you know, for people who say, well, it doesn't follow the Disney movie at all. Well, in some respects, I would agree with you. They are pulling a lot of things from the Disney movies. But they're taking these stories, and again, Walt Disney himself didn't follow the original stories. If he did, he would never have been able to make them because they would never have been, you know, able to pass the FCC or anything like that, or the, you know, Morals Commission. Right. None of that. It would never have happened because these original fairy tales are very grim and very dark and very not family or child friendly in the least. So Walt himself kind of put his own twist on the fairy tales, the original fairy tales. And now what's happening is the creators of this show have taken their own spin on what the original stories were and what Walt did with his movies. So they're this season right now, kind of jumping a little bit ahead maybe to what you might want to talk about, but this season we're introducing Frozen into the mix. And a lot of things from the movie have come into play. However, if you actually know that Frozen was based on Hans Christian Andersen's Snow Queen, you'll find that, and if you know that story, you'll find that there are an awful lot of things about the original fairy tale that are being pulled into the show, more so than even the Frozen references. So it's a really nice blend of everything. But like Jeff said, I mean, if you're expecting to see, you know, Beast and Belle and Captain Hook and Peter Pan and the crocodile and, you know, all and the genie from Aladdin and Snow White and her magic mirror, if you're expecting, you know, all of those different characters, they've actually condensed them into, you know, only a handful of characters. For example, Rumpelstiltskin, who is not a Disney movie or fairy tale, but Rumpelstiltskin is the crocodile from Peter Pan. He is the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. We have the magic mirror from Snow White, who is also the genie from Aladdin. So there's these blended characters that they've kind of introduced into this show.
What did you think of the show, Jesse, when you started to watch it and all that?
You know, I really enjoy the show. Full disclosure, I don't have cable, or I don't even have a TV antenna, so I only have cable, so I'm watching on Netflix.
Okay.
And so I'm actually far behind. I'm only on season 2 right now.
Okay.
But I love it.
That's great.
Every time I watch, I'm on the edge of my seat, loving every single twist. And it's like, they did that? Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's different, but that makes so much sense.
Right.
I just love every single twist they do.
They're really brilliant writers. Eddie and Adam, Eddie Kitsis and Adam Horowitz, are the creators of the show. And they were also writers on Lost. So if you watched Lost at all and loved Lost, then you'll appreciate a lot of what they do here in this show, because they've pulled some of those same elements that made Lost so amazing and used them in Once Upon a Time.
And Lost was not a show I was into, but I know a lot of people who were, and I've heard the same thing from them also. And they've also had some of the same actors from Lost be on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell me what experiences you guys have had because of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, we'll try to condense it down. We keep you on here a while. It has been a magical ride for these 4 seasons.
Three and a half,
almost. And I think the first really incredible moment was when I looked at my wife and I said, let's drive to Vancouver, Canada, which is so on me. I think the farthest I've ever been is maybe Florida, maybe Baja. I'm not the kind of person that, hey, let's go to a different country. Let's just do that. And they film in Vancouver. They film in a town called Steveston. And so we got our driving visa.
Mm-hmm.
We drove up there. And it was the most incredible, incredible trip ever. The town that they use is Steveston. And it is relatively the same as you see on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're walking in the show. You're walking around, you're seeing the buildings, you're seeing Granny's, you're seeing the Standard Clocks store. You're seeing all these buildings. And then we watched them film. We watched them set up and film. It is, if any folks remember the old days of Universal Studios, you could take a tram and maybe see some things being set up, but you couldn't get off the tram and go watch it. And in Steveston, you can. Mm-hmm. It's a magical, incredible thing to see things being filmed outside. Maybe if you live in Los Angeles, maybe that's like, oh, that's old hat. We've done that before. But if you live in a state or a town or an area where you wish you could see that, that's the way Steveston is. It's the nicest people, mm-hmm. the most incredible, beautiful scenery, and they will allow you as fans to line up and group up on the other side of the street normally where they're filming. And we watched that. And we had a magical time meeting some of the cast. We mm-hmm. had photos with Josh Dallas, Prince Charming. And it was just something I don't think I'll ever forget.
No, it was a fantastic trip. And that is the thing, is that the fans are very appreciated up there by the cast and the crew. The crew is very nice. I mean, you can go talk to most of the crew just about any time unless they're in the middle of something, but they're very, very nice, and they're more than accommodating, and they take care of the cast, no question about that. But they'll allow the cast to come over and talk with you or sign autographs or take pictures, and it's a fantastic time. Like Jeff said, it feels like you're walking in the middle of Storybrooke.
Right.
It's one of those crazy things. You kind of stand there in the middle of the town, and especially when they have it dressed for Storybrooke, you see all the Storybrooke signs and you feel like you're in the show. Mm-hmm. It's really surreal. And, you know, even when it's regular Steveston, it still feels like Storybrooke. So
the one disclaimer I want to say is, if people are thinking, well, I want to go up there. I want to watch them film. And the only thing I will say is, it's like the planets lining up.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't buy a ticket and go up there and say, okay, I'm going to stand in the middle of the town and watch them film. We were very, very, and then insert about 10 or 12 other very in lucky. We were so lucky mm-hmm. to see what we saw.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people go up there to go meet a certain star from the show and they're disappointed. They go home and they see the town, but they don't get to meet any of the cast because there's a lot of filming that goes on inside the studio.
Right.
But sometimes you're lucky. Sometimes you go and you get to meet whoever. But it is a once in a lifetime. When it all lines up together, it's really a magical thing.
But honestly, in and of itself, the village of Steveston, which is a small little fishing village, and it's got a rich history with, you know, fishing, it's a charming little place to stay. It's a charming little place to look around. And again, you might get lucky and you might run into some cast, you know, or even crew from the show while you're there. If you plan it right while they're filming, when they're actually actively filming, you frequently get the opportunity to do so. But again, there's no guarantees. It's hard to say when to go up there, but that is one of the things. It's still worth it to go up there and actually see the town itself. There are a number of places around Vancouver that are, I mean, it's Hollywood North that's been known for that for a while. And if you wander around enough, you start recognizing, oh, I saw this in this movie, or I saw that building in that movie or TV show. Or you may find that not only Once Upon a Time, there are other shows that film up there. So you may bump into another show, and maybe it's one you really appreciate, and so it's worth the time and effort. But for nothing else, the people in the town are absolutely just the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. I mean, it's I know people joke about Canadians being overly nice, but it's true. They're very nice people. They're very accommodating, very hospitable. It's a great place to vacation. The weather, you can't beat the weather. So for that, I would say definitely worth the shot. And that was one of the most magical things that happened for us. So that was season one. we were very fortunate right after, in between filming season one, they were starting to film season two.
Yeah.
But another thing that we've had that I would say experience-wise that has been great for us is we've had a number of cast members call into our show and leave voicemails. And we had probably the majority of them in our season one run. I think everything was so new at that point that they were kind of excited about what was going on. And so we regularly got voicemails from the Seven Dwarves or from other cast members. And we've had some great call-ins from the folks on the show. And then, you know, we've had a number of them here and there. We've had recently this season, we've gotten a couple of great call-ins from some of the cast members. We've met a number of people across the country, around the world, that, you know, are listening to our show and they're fans of the show, and we've made some really good friends doing that. So I think, you know, if you're going to talk about experiences with the show, that's been a huge one for us.
We went down to the Paley Fest twice when Once Upon a Time the cast was there. That was an incredible moment. We also had, as hot as it was during Friends of the Magic, it was twice as hot when we had our Once Upon a Time meetup at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And it was so hot. And I thanked everybody up and down. It was so hot on the Sunday. In the afternoon, I just stopped everything. I said, everybody go to a hotel, go somewhere cool for a couple of hours till the sun starts to go down. It was just so hot. But it's been, you know, that mixed with the podcast and the emails from all over the world, it's been an incredible situation, and we're just so grateful that it's still going on. So
we are, and you know, we see on a lot of our Twitter feed and Facebook, and people that we've made friends with through the show, they're making friends and their lives are changing from being friends with people on the show. We know a couple of people who live on opposite sides of the country, and they regularly find time to get together and take little weekend trips up to Vancouver, or, you know, to Disneyland or to Walt Disney World, or, you know, New York to go, you know, check out shows on Broadway. It's amazing. There's a lot of activity in the fandom. There are groups within the fandom that you can, if you identify with, you know, the Evil Queen, there's a group called the Evil Regals, and they love Lana a lot. A lot.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
Well, I mean, she is an amazing person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that I've seen. I've never participated in a fandom from another show. We never really got into any Lost fandom or anything like that. And this is the first time I've experienced this, and I'm amazed at how close people have gotten, how friendly and how tight these relationships are that they've had now for the last 4 years, because they've, you know, got this, they started out with one thing in common and now they're finding other things they have in common. So it's interesting. I know you probably know that with Disney, there are definitely different types of fans for Disney as well. And there are some fans that are very into Disneyana, or there are certain fans that are into the artwork, or fans who are into one park or another, or one coast or another. And so it's kind of that similar thing, excuse me, where people are getting together and sharing this common passion.
One thing I'm a huge fan of is the fan fiction, mm-hmm. and I've never seen it take off like I've seen it with this show.
Yeah, there have been a number of folks who have written fanfic for Once Upon a Time, and from different perspectives. There's a number of them. A couple of them, I think, have gone even like graphic novel type.
Probably. I know that... one in particular, I haven't read that, but I know that there was a lot of interest with the Ruby, mm-hmm. Little Red Riding Hood, and the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And there was a great scene when they were sitting on the edge end of the pier, and they really started to relate to one another. And unfortunately, we didn't see them much anymore, but I know that that was one of those relationships where people just started to write their own stories about it. And that's, I think that's another great quality of the show, is some people call it, it's a fan fiction of, you know, these classic stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone's actually rewriting it. And so because of that, other people are kind of continuing on that. And yeah, fan fiction, artwork, there's all kinds of different really creative uses of being a fan that you kind of spring off of there. And that definitely fan fiction is a huge part of it.
Now, let me turn us on the spot for a second. And this is going to be hard, and it's going to be like picking your favorite child, but who's your favorite character?
Well, depending on the day.
Yeah.
I actually have a couple of favorites. I do. Rumpel has been my favorite from the beginning. Love Rumpelstiltskin. Just absolutely love him. I'm kind of crushing a little bit on the actor who plays him. That's part of the reason. But I absolutely adore Hook. Hook and Robin Hood are now my two of my favorite ones. I honestly love the whole cast. I don't think there's any character I really don't like. I did not care for a character that I don't know, depending on where you are in season two, if you're in the early part of season two or the end of season two, you may or may not have encountered her. But there have been a couple of characters I have not liked, and but for the most part, I really love all of them.
I would say my favorite character is August, and he was the Yoda for Emma. And there were some really great, great dialogue moments that he had with Emma trying to help her believe. And that really solidified. I really enjoyed his character so much. And when he called in and left a voicemail for the show, that was the top. I love this entire cast, but when he did that for our podcast, I just went, this guy is the coolest. But I really did love his character. So
wonderful. I know that for me, I think I'd agree with Colleen. I think Mr. Gold is one of my favorite characters from Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
And I just love the angle that they're going with his relationship with Belle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful plot twist that I cannot get enough of.
He's the beast, her beauty. Now, you are not alone in this, by the way. There's an entire fandom group called the Rumbellers.
Right.
And they absolutely love Rumpel and Belle together. So you will find that they are rather passionate about this pairing, this ship.
And this is a ship that I can get on board with.
Good.
It is. It's a great one. I will tell you that from season one, Skin Deep is one of my favorite episodes ever.
Yes, I know exactly which one you're talking about. And I would say, and I'm like I said, I'm far behind, but I agree with that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, how far into season two are you right now?
I just finished the first New York episode.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
A lot of fun twist ahead.
Yes.
For sure.
You do have some interesting stuff to get through. I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to share my personal opinion. Season two was a little rough for me in a couple of spots, but I powered through it, and I promise you it's worth it. Even when something seems perfectly ridiculous, you're like, wait, what? Just power through it.
I had a few of those moments, and it's like, okay, I'm going to keep trying because they're still going to show, and I hear it gets better.
Season three was epic. Hold on through, power through season two, get through all the information. And when you ride through season three, you're just going to be like, you're going to be, bouncing off the walls. It's awesome.
When three was Neverland and Oz, is that right?
That is correct.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done my homework. I know what's coming up. So I have to get through the veggies before I can get to the dessert.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And I'm telling you right now, I'm really enjoying season four. So, I know some people are a little unhappy with Frozen coming in. It's too early. No, I think it's perfectly timed. So, and I think if you really can appreciate that they're using the movie, but they're also using the original story, I think you will appreciate it as well.
Now, did I hear in one of the spoilers that they also have brought in some Mickey Mouse elements in season four?
Well, no.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That's right. Correct. I guess the shows are out now, so we can discuss that. I understand what you mean now. And yes, there are some Fantasia moments and character
references
and that kind of a thing.
Great episodes.
And that's what I love about Once Upon a Time is they say we are using the Frozen story and the Frozen characters, but they also bring in Fantasia, which is fantastic because Fantasia is one of those movies that is rarely seen. I know Disney fans have seen it, but most of the kids who have seen Frozen and love Frozen, I would say never have seen Fantasia. And Fantasia was one of those incredible experiments that Walt Disney did with great classical music and great animation. I mean, he was firing on all cylinders, but it was one of those movies that was kind of hard to get people excited about. It wasn't a Bambi. It wasn't a Peter Pan.
Right. And we're talking about the original 1940 Fantasia, not the 2000 or whatever it was remake. But
that was interesting.
Which was a good movie. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the original was classic.
But yes, indeed.
I know for me, I saw Fantasia as a kid, and it was okay, but I didn't appreciate it until I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That's true. That's absolutely true. So, those are things you have to look forward to.
Now, what are you guys looking forward to in the series? What twists and turns are you thinking is coming up next, and what are you on the edge of the seat for?
Well, I'm interested to see how they kind of resolve the first half of this season. You're not going to really recognize this so much since you're watching on Netflix, but those of us that are watching it on ABC on regular TV, season three, they did the same thing. We call it 3A and 3B. So there's season 3A was all about Neverland, and it was an 11-week run. And then they had a hiatus for like 3 months, 3 or 4 months. And then we had season 3B, which was Oz-centric, and then that ended season three. But prior to that, they had just kind of run them, and there was, okay, coming up in 2 weeks, you're going to see this, and we're like, wait, what's happening? What about next week? Oh, we're on hiatus. And it was really hard to tell when there was a new show coming out. They didn't have it. It wasn't very well organized, and unfortunately, a lot of things like award season kind of messed up the schedule, and I think it frustrated a lot of fans. So they really got smart and scheduled 11 weeks straight, no hiatus, and then the 4 month break, and then another 11-week hiatus, or another 11-week run, and then the summer hiatus. So they're doing the same thing right now with season four. So the first 11 episodes were gonna hopefully tie up the storyline with Frozen, and then rumor has it that we're going to see a character we haven't seen in a while come back in season 4B, the second half, and I'm frankly quite excited about that.
I think I'm excited about the Snow Queen, because again, there's nothing, I'm not saying that the Frozen story isn't interesting, but I think they fit the Frozen story in with the rest of the Once Upon a Time other story arcs that are going on. So with the introduction of the Snow Queen, everybody thought that Elsa was going to be this evil bad character, which was not the case.
Right.
She's misunderstood. And I think a number of people felt that that's the way they were going to introduce her. And they were right. But the Snow Queen has this story that's really evolving. Now we find out that she has two sisters. Who are they? What happened to them? And it,
don't give too much away.
I'm not. But it's just the story is it's always evolving. It's always changing. And you, the minute you have an answer to a question that you've had, you have more questions now. And so that's what's fun about it, is it's not a police drama where it's the same, you know, kind of story. It's just, it's arcing and it has all these other little facets to it.
The other thing I will say about this show, and I'm sure you've probably recognized this up to this point, is the character development and the character growth that you see in the show, especially if you look back from season one to season two, then from season two to season three, and you start to recognize, hey, wait a minute, that character would never have done that before. Wow, they're really growing up, or they're really growing in this area. And again, it's things you can see, you can relate to from a human perspective. The character development is fantastic on the show. They're showing people struggling with, you know, old habits. Old habits definitely die hard, but they are showing that people have the ability to change or better themselves or better their situation. And it's very, a lot of good messages, a lot of message of hope and family and love. And they really do have kind of almost a theme for each half of their season that they're doing. And you start to see that theme, and it's very interesting to see where they're going to go next.
I'm interested in, Jesse, your approach to the show. You're a Disney fan. When did you realize that you were hooked or it interested you?
On the show?
Yes.
Let me think about that for a second. When I first saw the show, actually, when it was on ABC, my now ex was enjoying the show.
Okay.
And she would watch it every Sunday, and I'd try and watch with her while trying to get the kids down to bed. And so I'd miss what was going on, so I'd miss a little plot twist here and there. So as soon as I got Netflix, I said, well, I'm going to start once again and see what I missed. One of my friends from my blog that I do was a huge fan, so we started talking about it, and we realized all the different plot twists that were happening. And just within the first twist or two, I got hooked. Just the possibility of Emma and where her character was going. Now, one of the things that I appreciated as I was watching even just season one was how everything they showed on the TV, everything in the show, was happening for a reason, even if you didn't understand what that reason was for another three or four episodes. One of my favorite examples is the episode where they flash back to Emma's teenage years, where she's in Portland, where I grew up.
Nice.
That was a nice little twist for me, realizing that part. But her back with her character development there, and with Neil, who we learn in season two has an involvement with Mr. Gold. I won't say what that involvement is for those who haven't seen the show.
Right.
But that little development really hooked me when I realized a full season later, that's why they did that. So I just love those little details and it's things like that and those little twists where you don't expect them that keeps me going. The grumpy character is another one of my characters who I just absolutely adore and love seeing where they're going with him.
Grumpy is quite the character. We love Lee Ehrenberg. He's a fantastic actor. And a lot of people don't realize, but Lee Ehrenberg was in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And
looks totally different.
Very much so. He's very versatile, and he's just an overall really nice guy. And he's a really good actor. We really enjoy watching him play on the show.
You've mentioned you had your experience up in Vancouver, and you've mentioned you've had some call-ins. Have you had a chance to actually do any interviews with the characters or the actors?
Unfortunately, no. Our time and work schedules just won't allow it. But yeah. we do have our voicemail line open, and it has been used by some fantastic people.
Yeah, for sure. It absolutely has.
And as a matter of fact, one of the dwarfs, it was Sneezy, answered some fan questions and sent in an audio file.
Yeah.
So they're getting to us, whether it's voicemail or audio file. But yeah, I just can't.
We're hoping that eventually we will get an opportunity to interview them. We're trying to work on, you know, ways to make that happen at things like Comic-Con or D23 or WonderCon. You know, if they appear, we're trying to make that happen. It's just a matter of scheduling and making sure we get to these conventions and things. And So yeah, we're working on that. But they have been very gracious to send us audio files or call into our voicemail and leave messages. And I think it was first season one, we had pretty much all seven of the dwarves except for Grumpy. He was in the middle of filming scenes with Snow White.
Right.
But we had all seven, the other of the seven dwarves, and actually Prince Charming, though he didn't say anything, he was in the room, we found out later.
He was listening.
They called in and left us a really nice Christmas message for all of our listeners, which is really cool.
Wonderful. So let me ask you this question. For the fan who has never seen the show or saw one or two of the first two episodes and decided to give up on the series, why should they watch? Why should they go back and try it again? Why should they invest their time?
I would say because it's a well-written show. There are fun things for everybody to see and enjoy in it. And they do, like you said, there are a lot of plot twists that you don't see coming. There are things that are just, you kind of go, wait, what? No. Oh my gosh. And you're on the edge of your seat and you want to know what's going to happen. You can't wait to see the next episode to see where they go with it. I honestly think that it's a well crafted show. The flashbacks to the, you know, how things were in the Enchanted Forest versus what's it's like in Storybrooke. That's a big draw. The other thing I would say is, honestly, it's the relatability of these characters. They are just like everybody else. When you realize it, when you start thinking about it, it kind of puts the characters you know and love, it gives you insight into who they are, why they did what they did, why they make the decisions that they make. And it gives you that whole what happened after the movie was over, the Disney movie was over. Or in some cases, what if the Disney movie had one little thing changed? Would it have gone this way? It's a great show as far as, like I said, just the plot twists and the relatability. It's just a great show.
I would also say that since I'm a movie fanatic and probably a rock and roll music fanatic as well, they put all these little Easter eggs from rock music to movies. Are you a Hitchcock fan at all, Jesse?
I've seen one or two Hitchcock films, but I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan.
Vertigo had a tracking zoom shot that made it compress. And so when Jimmy Stewart looked down this tower, when he's going up the stairs, he experienced vertigo, and there was this really famous tracking shot. They did it again in Jaws with the sheriff, and it compressed when he sat forward. They did that shot in the season one, the final episode. And so there's these little tip of the hats to Star Wars.
Oh,
there's a lot of Star Wars connections. Mm-hmm. Hero's Journey, Joseph Campbell. There's a lot of names from rock bands like Grace Slick, mm-hmm. Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah.
So it's not just Disney. Disney is part of it, and these characters are part of it.
Right.
But it's also just pop culture
right
and left. And if you keep your eyes open and you keep your ears open, you'll hear and you'll see stuff, and I'll just go, oh my gosh, that's Jefferson Airplane. And, you know, the White Rabbit song for the episode about the Mad Hatter. So
I remember that.
Yeah. It's all going on, and there's so much really fun things to look for besides the great story. So.
And plus, I just love the costumes. That's just.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, with the period pieces.
Oh, let me tell you. Eduardo Castro is fantastic. He is such a genius with costuming. He makes the most gorgeous costumes for these gowns for the Evil Queen. I mean, her wardrobe alone is just spectacular. And then you get into, you know, Snow White's clothing and even the princes and gold. I mean, Hook, wait till you see Captain Hook. Oh, my goodness. The guy is just a genius. And actually, for those that don't know, if you're in the California area and you happen to go to Disneyland Resort and you go to California Adventure, right on the Hollywood Street as you're heading towards the Tower of Terror or towards the theater to go see Aladdin, on the right hand side, there's a shop called Off the Page right next door to the animation building, and they have four of the costumes from the show in the window there. They've been there for a couple years now.
And Henry's book.
And the book, a copy of the book.
Yep.
So they have, and you can see just the incredible detail that they put into it, and it's brilliant. The settings, again, you know, they film a lot of the outdoor exterior shots for the town right there in Steveston. They do a lot of the Enchanted Forest is actually up in the hills near Whistler, and you'll recognize a lot of that same scenery if you're a Twilight fan. They filmed a lot of the Twilight movies up there as well.
We'll that part.
Yeah, I know.
I know a lot of people don't like Twilight. I don't know why, but anyway. But they film a lot of movies up in that area, and they're using the natural settings. They're using the what's already up in Vancouver to stand in for other areas. Vancouver stood in for Portland, actually. So the scenery is gorgeous. The costuming is brilliant. The casting is probably some of the best I've seen on television. We absolutely just love the cast. They have not really gone wrong at all with any of the casting choices they've made. And it's really unfortunate because while they're really good for this show, if they're only in a couple of episodes or a couple parts or, you know, an episode here and there, they tend to get snapped up by other TV shows. And we've seen a couple of the actors that I've played on Once Upon a Time as, you know, some of the, like, supplementary characters, they're getting lead roles in their own TV series. You know, Megan Ory, who played Red Riding Hood, she was on a TV show with Josh Holloway from Lost, ironically, for a season. So she wasn't on Once Upon a Time much anymore after that. And then we know that Sidney Glass, the Magic Mirror and the Genie, he was on Breaking Bad for a while. And then after he was on Breaking Bad, actually, I think he ended up on Once Upon a Time after Breaking Bad, but he ended up in Revolution. So, there, I mean, we've had, a number of characters that have gone on to other things. So that just speaks volumes to the talent and the level of acting that they're pulling in.
It may seem self-serving, but I'm going to say this, is that the reason we do a podcast is, I think, for folks like you're mentioning, that watch a television show and say, I'm not getting it. I don't really understand it. Right. I just, that's when you listen to a podcast, I would suggest ours, that we will help you. We will walk you through the story. We'll tell you about things that we notice.
Mm-hmm.
We will theorize. We will talk through. We'll read the emails from the other listeners and people that watch the show. So it becomes not just a person watching a television show and saying, I don't really like it or I don't get it. But now you're part of a community.
Right.
We're talking with you and we're with you. And that's I think what makes the show great, and that's what makes podcasting about it even greater. It's this whole community aspect. It's not just us.
No. It's not just us. Know, I mean, so. We're the ones on the mic, but it's not just us.
Right.
And what we offer is we offer the connections and things and the themes that are running throughout the show that may seem kind of you don't really maybe recognize or things that kind of, you know, just little things here and there. For example, Mary Margaret Blanchard. Mary Margaret, the name Mary Margaret actually originally came from the child that supposedly inspired Snow White. But Blanchard is a derivative of Blanc, which is French for white. So little things like that, you know, Mr. Gold, naming him Mr. Gold in our world, Rumpelstiltskin, Archie Hopper, who is a grasshopper, who's Jiminy Cricket he's a cricket, Jiminy Cricket, mm-hmm. You know, little things like that, pointing out, oh, Regina means queen in Latin. So having, you know, these little tiny little things that we kind of will point out, oh, yeah, this person's name means this. This person's name means that. It's interesting that Cora means heart. So,
Corazon.
Yeah. So when you find out who Cora is, which you may not have at this point, but if you know who Cora is, Regina's mother. Exactly. So little things like that. And then the connections, you know, oh, what's happening with this character is mirroring exactly what's happening over here with these other characters, or, you know, that kind of a thing. And it just, I think it enhances the watching experience, you know, when you start to really get to the meat of what's really going on.
You'd be surprised how many aha moments I had just you talking about the names. Like, I knew Archie Hopper.
Yeah.
But the other ones I totally overlooked.
Oh, yeah. There are a number of them.
So tell me about the podcast. How often do you guys release? And is it, do you parallel the shows? Do you take the summers off or do you keep going during the breaks?
We have two shows per week. We record first thoughts right after the episode airs. So we sit down the minute the show is over and we talk about our first thoughts about the show. What did we notice? What kind of things are we seeing? And if we have any kind of theories that have kind of, you know, come from what's happening, theories about what's coming up, or if we need to kind of say, yeah, we were right. We totally guessed this is what was going to happen.
Or I would say I was wrong again.
Yeah, totally wrong again. Yeah. Wow, we didn't see that coming. We totally thought it was going to be this. Yeah. So we have that kind of thing. And that's our first thoughts. It's just the two of us. It's just literally what we think about the show. Then again, later in the week, we record our main show, which is where we incorporate anything. We watch the show again to make sure we didn't miss anything important. We look for feedback from our listeners through emails, voicemails, Facebook, Twitter. We get all kinds of feedback from our listeners about things they appreciated about the show, things they wanted to point out. And we've gotten some great theories from our listeners and some things that we totally forgot to talk about.
Yep.
Oh, so-and-so said this, which is the same thing that was said, but oh my gosh, totally missed that. Or this was happened here and it mirrors exactly what happened back in season one, you know, just little things like that. So we record that show. The first two seasons, we actually technically three, we took our summer hiatus. So we tried to kind of incorporate some little fun stuff. Season one. Season two was really a tough thing for us schedule-wise, so we took the summer off. And then season three, we took the break between the first and second half of the season. But after the season was over, we decided to create another podcast that was where we watched Disney movies, classic Disney movies that are related to the show, and then kind of gave it our fresh view with a once upon a time spin on things. So where we could see and correlate how they were using things from, you know, the original Snow White. We started with Snow White and we said, okay, so we know Snow White's a very, you know, that's the core of the show. The story of Snow White's this core of the show. What did we see that they used? Oh, they used this or they used that. And oh, we missed this. And wow, they could have totally used that. And kind of gave it our own little spin on the movie that we hadn't seen maybe for a long, I mean, I hadn't seen Snow White in probably 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so watching it again with fresh eyes, seeing it again, we called that part of our podcast Disney Once Again. So yep. It was, you know, Disney with a once upon a time twist, but we're seeing it again. So we will probably do the same next summer, maybe, perhaps. I think we're going to take a break this hiatus between first and second half of the season.
Yeah.
For the Christmas break.
Yep.
Wonderful. Last question I want to ask is, what movies would you like to see incorporated in Once Upon a Time going down the road that they haven't touched on yet?
Boy, I think they've done well thus far. You know, I think it's a full house already. I'd love to see more Mulan. I don't think we've seen the full scope of her story. I'd like to see more Neverland. That's kind of my thinking is, you know, definitely I want to see more Maleficent. That kind of, and that's where I'm coming from. I want to see a more complete story with what they've already got on the table. And they pulled in Frozen. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that, but it's just I still have more questions and I want to see more from what they've already done.
I actually have two movies I would really like to see them pull in. One would be Jungle Book.
Okay.
That'd be real interesting to do. Not sure how they'd manage that. But I know that they would be very, very clever how they would pull Jungle Book in. Because, I mean, you got Mowgli, but then you've got the animal characters. And we've seen how they've taken some animals and turned them into human beings and vice versa. So there is definitely a room for that, I think. The other one I really want to see them pull in, I think would be fascinating, would be Tarzan. So, and I think that with Tarzan, they could take the Disney portion of it, but I would love to see them pull the original Edgar Rice Burroughs version as well.
They've been kind of hinting around, and there's been a lot of talk about 101 Dalmatians. We already see Pongo.
Yeah, Pongo already on the show. There. Yeah, he was there from the beginning.
You know, that's almost somewhat of a given, I think. A
little bit, but not necessarily. I mean, there's so many. Look, they pulled Hansel and Gretel in. So they've pulled not just Disney movies. They pulled in fairy tales that we are aware of. They've pulled Rumpelstiltskin's a fairy tale. It's not a Disney movie. Hunchback of Notre Dame would be another fascinating one that I would love to see.
That was one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy that movie. But they've pulled in a lot of, even they've pulled mythology. King Midas is a big one.
Medusa.
Yeah. They've pulled in. So, I mean, they've pulled in some other things from other places. I would really like them to kind of go that route with the ones I mentioned. I think there are so many places they could go. So many places. I really would have liked to have seen more of Oz. We didn't see enough of Oz,
true,
I didn't think.
True.
And I know a lot of people didn't like as much as we saw of Neverland, and other people wanted more. I think if we'd seen a different aspect of Neverland, I think it would have been different. And you'll understand what I'm talking about when you get to season three. But I loved it. I thought it was a phenomenal just section of the season. It was really good. But yeah, I would love to see them pull in some of the other movies.
Wonderful. Well, Jeff and Clint, I want to thank you again for joining us on the Neverland podcast today. Let me take a quick moment to tell everyone where they can find you on the big old internet.
All right. Especially for the Frozen story in Once Upon a Time, we have a new URL that people can find us on the internet. It is onceisfrozen.com. I figured we would blend the two together that way. And also, we're on Twitter at OUAT Podcast. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast.
And for the not frozen season, they can still get to us at onceuponatimepodcast.com as well. That's all year round, all season long, no matter what season we're in.
Correct.
And you're on iTunes and Stitcher and all that good stuff?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
So the same place you find Neverland Podcast, you can go find the Once Upon a Time fan podcast as well.
Right.
Definitely worth the listen.
Listen to Neverland Podcast first, and then,
then come over listen to
the Once Upon a Time fan podcast.
And do yourself a favor, be caught up on the shows before you start listening.
Actually, you know, with all of our stuff that you can go back and you can look at through the archives, if you start watching the show from the beginning, we have a number of episodes. We're up to 252, I think it is now.
251.
We just finished 251. Yeah, yeah. So we've got enough to keep you entertained. If you're just starting, you can listen along with you know, watch the episode and then listen to our podcast.
Yeah, we actually have something really special for folks that are brand new.
Right.
That maybe have watched these episodes now for Frozen. But maybe they're saying, I want to start at the beginning. And maybe you'll benefit from this too, Jesse, is that we have a special link. It's onceuponatimepodcast.com/OUAT start. And if you go there, there is a really great introduction to characters, introduction to places, telling you what these places are, what that building is, who this person is. We really try to keep the spoilers out of it, but I think we've done a great job. Say, this is Archie Hopper, you know, and this is this and this is that, but also a little bit about little Easter eggs that are coming up. I think it's a great introduction. And then at the end of that, we have links to the first episodes of our podcast,
sure,
so that you can listen along as you watch you know, on Netflix or wherever. So that's a great link. It's onceuponatimepodcast.com/OUAT start.
I'll be going there in about 15 minutes or so.
Really, I'm really proud of that.
Fantastic.
A listener of ours, Brad Pogris, very, very talented, put that together, yes. And I think it's fantastic.
Well, again, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for having us.
Hopefully we'll see you soon at Disneyland.
I hope so.
Sounds good.
Well, once again, I want to thank Jeff and Colleen Roney for being guests with Jesse there to talk about their podcast, the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, and of course, Once Upon a Time, which is still very popular, especially now, I'm sure, with the Frozen characters making their appearances. And I'd also like to thank you for downloading and listening to the Neverland Podcast this week. We appreciate, of course, all the feedback that you give us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. You can find links, if you have not reviewed us yet, you can find links on the Neverland Podcast website, neverlandpodcast.com, and go and leave us those reviews, because I'd actually, you know, like to share some, and they really do help us out. So go ahead and leave a review and tell us what you think about the show, and don't forget to tweet us and talk to us on Facebook, because we enjoy the interaction. So until next week, remember to keep your pixie in your pocket and keep that wonderful positive attitude so you can share it with other peoples, and don't forget to call 816-226-6492 with your Thanksgiving memories, wishes, or whatever you want to leave that you're thankful for.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. We love to hear from you on twitter.com/neverlandpcast and facebook.com/neverlandpodcast. Leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492 and send email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Join us next week and we'll once again go to Disney and beyond. The Neverland Podcast is copyright Blue Band Productions and all original content belongs to the same. Other content is copyright of their respective creators and is used under Creative Commons license.
Good night, Neverland!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.